Welcome back to Silverlight TV. I'm John Papa, Silverlight Evangelist at Microsoft, and today I've got Pete Brown with
me
here.
Hi, everybody.
Pete, could you tell us about what you do?
Sure. So I work on Scott Hanselman's Community Ninja team, which is kind of an interesting. We have a nice little logo with a little ninja guy on there. What I do is I do WPF and Silverlight community work on Silverlight.net and Windows Client.net. A lot of work with videos as well as on-ramping stuff, things like that.
Okay, so all the tutorials and the learning materials and getting started and all that, that's you?
It's all the stuff I used to do as an MVP, but I get paid for it now.
Ah.
So it's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So I won't even ask you what your title is, because I know that's a...
It's whatever we want today. I've been thinking about getting some weird titles put up on the video, on the business card, but I don't know what I'm going
to
have on there.
Look forward to see it.
Ninja doesn't work for me, so.
So you and I were talking about what we should do while you were in town on campus, because you work from home, right?
Yes, I do.
Awesome. On the East Coast, the other side of the country.
Yep.
So we talked about lots of different things, and we hit across a recent application you wrote, printing, report writing application. So I thought we'd talk a little about printing and talk about what the API is and kind of where you went a little further with it.
Yeah. So printing in Silverlight is pretty neat. It's something that's new to Silverlight 4, and it's one of the things that was a huge request for a long time. You know, you can't really have a business application without printing. As much as I would like to see the paperless office come about, it's not quite there. We still have to print stuff. So Silverlight 4 added printing, but the way they did it was really kind of neat. Instead of creating like an entirely separate way of formatting information and getting stuff out to a printer, they made it so that the printing API could just consume all the things that you would normally do in XAML anyway and just spit them out to a printer page. Right. So they've built up an API to support that, and it's pretty simple. I can do a quick demo here and
let's walk through a demo.
Some of the stuff. So the main type that we're going to work with here is called the print document. And that print document is the container for both the events that we're going to use to print out to the printer to start the printing and the printing, you know, doing print individual pages, as well as holding the visual tree, you know, the tree of XAML and the tree of objects that are going
whatever to print you're physically going to print. Yeah.
Yes. So if I did print document doc equals new print document, and this is all up in the System.windows.printing namespace.
Right.
So it's a little different namespace than what we had in, I think it's Windows Forms and some other ones with system drawing printing. So just keep that in mind. And inside this document, it has the print page event. So you see there's quite a bit of stuff here, actually. So, you know, we have the printed page count. We can see how many pages have been printed. You know, it's a dependency property that we can bind to and get some useful information out of. We have the print page event. And there are a couple other ones. The begin print event. So, like, if you want to do some work up front with formatting the document and or building a tree of things that you want to print out, you can do that all in a begin print event.
Right.
And then when it's all done, it'll fire off an end print event too. So you get to do some cleanup of that.
Or any kind of alerts to the users.
Exactly.
So usually you'll use the print page event. You'll always use that, and then the print method, obviously, to fire off the print technique.
Right. So let me wire up this event. So print page, my favorite lambda event syntax here, right? And then you can say doc.print, and you give it a title. So you can say cool Silverlight printing example.
And that was new in the RTW. They didn't have, before, you didn't have a title pass. There was actually, I think, a print document title, some kind of a property on the print object.
Right. And it really makes a lot of sense to have that forced, because when you look at the print queue, rather than just see a whole bunch of lame, like, Silverlight, or whatever in there, it's nice to have an actual document name in that. Now, the print page event here fires off once for each page. And all you need to do when you get that print page event is tell it what you want to supply as the root of that page. And that root here is just a XAML element or just a, you know, anything you can create in code as well. But you can pass in the actual page that you're working on, and then effectively in a few lines of code here you have a print screen, which I think is kind of a neat thing to have.
You mean for the page visual, right?
Sorry, yes, thank you.
Okay.
EA.this, yes.
You said it but didn't type it. You got it. The page visual is what you're going to print, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Now, let's say we had more pages to print, right? So if, let's say we weren't just printing out a single page here, but we have multiple tabs that we're printing out, or we have a multi-page document, what you can do is tell, in the event handler, you can say EA.has more pages, and that will cause this event to fire again after it's done.
Great.
So the event fires, the page is then rendered, all the stuff is rendered just like we would normally have it rendered to the screen, except it's rendered to a bitmap that's going to be sent to the printer. That is sent over to the driver, then you get another print page event for the next page.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to say has more pages is false.
Because this demo will just print one page, whatever is visual.
And the visual that we have here is just a button that's on the page. So
it's very exciting.
It's extremely exciting. I've always wanted to print out a button from code.
So it takes 5 minutes to print a button, because that's how long we've been talking, right?
Yes, right. And look, here's print. And we're going to print this out to the XPS document writer. This is a great way to test printing if you don't want to have kind of reams of paper flying off your printer, right? So I print that, and I'm going to send it out to Foo, because that's the standard one, right? And then if I go and look at my desktop, I should have Foo here in just a second when that finishes.
Yep, 0 bytes now. It'll be done in a sec.
There we go.
It's a half a meg page.
And there we go.
Excellent.
All right. Now, because it's printed out to a bitmap, it's essentially, like I said, the rendering engine will do everything it normally does in Silverlight. It'll go through a layout pass. It'll go through a rendering pass. The rendering pass is optimized for printing. Like the text will be grayscale anti-aliased instead of using clear type.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That all goes and gets printed out to a full page bitmap that is then sent to the printer.
And that's 600 DPI? Is that what it does it at?
I'm not sure what the DPI is on that. But when you're working with it, the dimensions that you're giving are all in regular 96 DPI.
Okay.
So any measurement that you do on screen is going to apply also to printing, and then it's going to take care of what it has to do to get that formatted for the printer itself.
Okay.
Right. And so what that did is it allowed the team to make a printing API that you don't have to do anything special for. So the downside is each page is being rendered as a bitmap, so you're not necessarily using something like PCL or something at the printer level.
Right.
But again, the upside here is you can print everything exactly like you would in XAML and be able to get that out of the printer. So,
and if you wanted to print something that spans more than a single page, you can do it without the Hasmar pages, but something like a grid where it's off the page, say you have a grid with 1,000 rows in it, only 20 of those are visible.
Yep.
How would you get around that?
So there's a couple of different approaches you can take there. One, you can apply a transform to get the stuff on the page, to be able to fit that on the printer page. What you have to know, though, is don't apply the transform to the page visual that you pass to the printer. Because if you do that, what'll happen is you'll have, it'll render normally at this size, and it's going to be clipped, and then it's going to be transformed, right? But if you do the transform one level down, right, so you do the transform, let's say, at a second root that's below the page visual,
right,
then it's going to get the transform done, and then that root is going to be clipped, and then everything will actually fit on the page.
Okay, it's good to know.
So it's a little trick that I figured out when we're doing there. Now, that only works with a certain number of rows.
Right, 10,000, that wouldn't work.
10,000 rows, that's going to make for a pretty small report, right?
There you'd have to figure out how many are on each, like, say, 12 fit on a page or whatever.
Right. So what David Pohl and I actually simultaneously developed kind of reporting solutions for Silverlight, which was interesting because we didn't know that we were both doing it, but we both did almost identical code. So that's sort of weird. I'm sure there's a lawsuit involved in there somewhere. We both wrote report writers, and for this one, what I've done is I've got a header and footer that you can see. But in order to be able to create headers and footers and be able to have multiple pages on here, I need to figure out how many items are going to fit on a page.
Right.
Right. And I can't just say, well, the average height of a page here, average height of an item is 50 pixels or 25 pixels.
And what if a row is different sizes?
Because, we want to support, multiple sizes. And that's actually kind of tricky to do. So there's a couple of different approaches you can take there. The first is, as you're going through and building the page to be printed out, you can measure the stuff, and you have to manually measure this. You can't go and rely on Silverlight to measure it for you because there's no visual, it's not hooked up to the real visual tree, so measure and layout and arrange and all those things aren't happening automatically. You have to do that yourself.
Right.
It's just a call to measure. So the rows can all be a different height, right? So if you want to have a like a comments field or something that can span that, you can't just say, well, everything is going to be exactly, 30 pixels or 50 pixels.
Right, right.
So when you're going through, you can measure that, you can measure each element manually as you're going through. and adding them to the page. But when you get to that last one, you need to figure out, is it going to go on this page? And if it's not going to go on this page, you sort of have to reserve it and hold it
right.
back.
You have
and
to buffer it back.
Then finish what you're doing, say, have more pages, and then move on to the next one.
And once you get that down, I assume it's a lot easier to figure out, what are your margins, what are your footers and headers, how much room do you have? Because those
right.
things could be predetermined for you.
Right, and actually Silverlight will tell you up ahead like what the size of the page is and what the standard margins are, but you might want to adjust that in the report
right.
and everything. So you need to have that all known ahead of time. But what works better, and this is something that I went through and I did it that way first, and I said, wow, this code's really hokey, especially if you're dealing with an IEnumerable and you can't just back up, you know, an IEnumerable.
Right.
Like you don't have an index really that you're working with. And that's sort of the standard approach for anything that uses like an item source is to go with an IEnumerable. So the approach that I used is to pre-build all the pages. So I pre-rendered all the pages ahead of time and just cached all that information as an array of trees.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go through in the print page event and I would just pull the next page, next page, next page.
Gotcha.
And once you do that, you can do things like get the total number of pages. Like if you want to say page one of N,
mm-hmm.
you can't do that unless you pre-build all that information.
Right.
You can have your headers and footers laid out correctly. It gives you more possibilities for doing grouping and
it's really
and
a two pass. So yeah. You know how many pages you're going to have at the
right.
end.
And so the code that does that is it's non-trivial, but you do it once. You
mm-hmm.
know, it generally doesn't change from report to report. So as I'm going through this, I check to see if the desired size of the row, like I do a measure, and then the row will say I want to be X pixels high, and so it puts that in the desired size because you're
right.
going to get zero values for actual height and height, but if you look at desired size dot height, which you have to navigate down a couple of steps to do that, you'll get a real value, right?
Right.
So if you look at that desired size dot height and compare it to how much space you have,
and just so everybody sees here, the row object here is actually just a framework element, so it's not in some special object.
Oh yes,
created.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
What I've done, and I've sort of glossed over this a little bit, but if you look at my blog post, you'll see some of what I've done here. But
yeah,
each row that I have is a template. Right, so it's a regular data template,
mm-hmm.
and then I just render that out and ask, you know, what size you want to be, figure what that is, put that on the page, and then move on to the next row. Right.
Sure.
Right. And so once you have that, and you measure that, then you simply add it to the page. And if you're not, if it's not going to fit on that page, it's much easier this way to just spin up a new page route, add a new item to the collection, and then move on from there.
Yep, and that's what you're doing here. The
yes.
get new page.
Yes. Exactly.
So before you're actually finished with this page, you're going to spin up a new page. And then add it to children and go to the next element.
Yes, right. And this way I don't have to go and back up an enumerable or keep
right,
an index
right.
or keep a pointer to the previous element or anything like that, because when you're dealing with the, in here it's a single loop, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're dealing with the Silverlight model directly, it's separate events. You're not really able to keep, you know, instance variables around unless you've
right.
got them at
unless you make your own to do that. And if you're going to do that, why not just create your own tree like
exactly.
you did?
Exactly, exactly. Right, so David and I are actually taking this, these concepts as well as the concepts that he's put together, and we're going to create a CodePlex project out of this.
Cool. So now that you've actually done the same thing, you're going to combine your efforts?
Yeah, like, you know, it's sort of the Microsoft way. There's always 50 people doing the same thing, and
sure.
then, you know, but we're actually talking to each other. We're going to get together and put this in a CodePlex project. I already have the site itself reserved.
Good.
And that way everybody can look at it. And you know, give us suggestions for things they want to see. I'm not sure what level of report writer it's going to be. It's more of a conceptual thing that folks can build on.
And you're not looking to make like a Crystal Reports type thing, your secret
exactly.
reporting services.
Exactly.
This is just a poor man's version of a report writer in
exactly.
case you need something simple.
Yeah, because I mean, truthfully, you're not going to want to print out a 300-page report in
right.
Silverlight, right?
Right. That's what secret reporting services is for.
Exactly, so. Exactly. But for those ones that have to do a couple pages or forms, it'd be nice to have a structure that you can build on. So that's what we're going to put out on the CodePlex project.
So I imagine you'll have footers, headers, totals.
Yes, exactly.
Some kind, things like that, page
yeah.
numbering.
Yep.
Okay.
We may have grouping, but that's you know, another step that we haven't looked at yet. But
right.
it'll definitely have totals and page headers.
And what you have here does handle if a row is a different size than the row before
exactly.
it or after it.
Exactly.
So that's really good.
Yeah. So it's which really, thinking back to what I used to do with report writers back when I had to write reports for a living all the time,
yeah.
that was non-trivial either. I mean, because a lot of times you couldn't get the rows to grow, and it wasn't until much later that the vendors added the ability to grow individual rows.
Yeah, back
in
my VB3 days, that wasn't fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. VBXs and things like that.
Yes, now we're dating ourselves, Pete. Well, great. This is really awesome stuff, and you've already got the blog post up.
Yep.
You're going to have the CodePlex project out soon, if not by the time this video airs.
Yep.
So all this is free, right?
Exactly.
Great.
Exactly.
So everybody can grab your code and We're going to put links up along with this post, so everybody knows where to go get it.
You can also go to 10rem.net. It's pimping my site here. This is a code-correct shirt, by the way.
Is it?
It actually, this code would print this shirt.
Excellent.
Probably not an actual shirt, but something, a good reasonable facsimile of an actual
shirt.
We'll
get a barcode scanner, and we'll get a scanner. We'll put it in and see what happens.
Right.
On that note, thanks for coming on, Pete.
All right, thanks, John.
Appreciate it. And thank you for watching Silver Lake TV.
Thank you.